2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. But we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. And whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they should live not henceforth, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. Amen. The love of Christ constrains us. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Paul reminds us of a sober thing in the 10th verse, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We may not want to appear, but we will. We may not even believe that we will appear, but we will. We may not go willingly, but we will go. And we will stand, and we will be judged. We are living in a time when nobody wants to be judged. We are living in a time when people will angrily shake their fist in your face and say, "Don't you judge me." But there's coming a judgment, folks. No getting around it. Thank God there's coming a judgment. When right will be made right, and right will be made manifest, and the righteous will be vindicated. Thank God there's a judgment. Thank God there's a worthy judge. Thank God there's one that's worthy to judge. Thank God there's one who is perfect. Thank God there's somebody that knows all things. He not only knows what we did, but why we did it, and all of the circumstances surrounding it. Amen. And somebody that mixes judgment with mercy and compassion and love and knows how to have a great outcome. That's God. He's going to be the judge, folks. And there's no one that can judge like he can. But make no mistake about it today, though we may not hear it often enough, there will be a judgment. And then Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. All a lot of people know about Jesus is that he's Mary's little lamb. Meek and mild. Jesus loves me, this I know. Regardless of what I do, regardless of what I say, regardless of where I live, regardless of how I live, regardless of anything, Jesus just loves me, 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 loves me. Yes, he does, but he doesn't approve you. I don't know about you, but as a parent, my child has done a very few things that I disapprove of. Amen. Didn't stop my loving her. Didn't stop my correcting her. Amen. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. He corrects. So if you feel like you're getting by with stuff, you might check out whether the Lord loves you or not. You might want to check out whether you love the Lord or not. Amen. Because love constrains. There are things you don't do if you love somebody. There are things you won't say if you love somebody. There are places you won't go when you love somebody. Love constrains you. Somebody said love means never having to say I'm sorry. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I ever heard in my life. Amen. That's some romanticist that had a mush for a brain. If you love somebody, you're going to say you're sorry time and again because you're a human being. And you got a mouth and you got a tongue. Hello? And you're going to say stuff that you shouldn't ought to say. And you're going to do some things you shouldn't ought to do. And you're going to have to say, I'm sorry. Amen. Well, I'm just preaching truth today. It may bother some folks, but this is the way it really is. This is the way human beings live. Amen. We got out from between the pages of a novel and we got off of the Hollywood script. And this is how real people live. Amen. Love constrains us. Amen. If you love somebody, there's some things you won't do. If you love your wife or you love your husband, you'll be faithful to them. Amen. You'll stay out of chat rooms with other women or other men. Amen. You won't be off talking to somebody else's mate, opening yourself up to temptation and adultery. Amen. Is that all right? Praise God. If you love your mate and you say, I love you, love you, love you, then you're going to constrain yourself. I've heard people say, I just couldn't help myself. Then you don't love like you ought to love. I never heard such baloney exposed as love in my life. People say, well, I just fell out of love. Love's not, you don't fall. It's not something you fall into or fall out of. You're talking about your feelings. Your feelings go up and down every day. Your feelings are like a roller coaster. It has nothing to do with love. First of all, love is a commitment. Love makes up its mind. And it doesn't change its mind. Amen. Praise God. Love doesn't just keep a score. Let's see, I love you today because you've been doing good. You got my eggs right this morning, so there's one mark. Amen. You took the trash out today, so you get a good mark. Keep it up, buddy. You're on the right scale. Has nothing to do with love. Love's not about your score. It's not about how good you've done or how bad you've done. Amen. Praise God. Love is it's deeper than that. It's more than that. Amen. Love constrains us. Amen. The word constrain means arrest. You ever been arrested by love? Amen. Somebody said, marriage is a great institution, but who wants to live in an institution? Well, the fact is, whenever you love somebody, you're arrested. Amen. You are. You become captive to. You become prisoner of, willingly so. Amen. You give yourself to that individual. Or you give yourself to God. He said the love of Christ constrains us. As Christians, there are things that we just don't say anymore. Could I just pause here a moment and say that Christians still need to watch their language. I hear a lot of stuff creeping into the Christian vocabulary that should not be in the Christian vocabulary. I hear people saying things I hear in the world and I shouldn't be hearing in the church. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ will help you change your vocabulary. And you won't use some of the words you used to use. And you won't use some of the phrases you used to use. We're not just sinners that have been baptized. The love of Christ constrains us. It'll clean up your language. Hello. And could I just touch on this a little bit? I don't know how this message is going to go. I still don't. But anyway, we'll find out in a minute. The love of Christ will constrain your attitude. Amen. And you may love your little temper tantrums, but the love of Christ will help you constrain yourself. The love of Christ will help you to love your brother and love your sister, not just in word, but also in deed. And not just in deed, but also in words. There's things you will not say to your brother and sister because you love them. The love of Christ will cause the gossip to shorten their tongue. Amen. It constrains us. It holds us back. It compels us. It controls us. Talking about the love of Christ. It'll make you do things that you wouldn't have done before, and it'll keep you from doing other things that you used to do before. The love of Christ constrains us. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Amen. The word of Christ will... there's another interesting word that's used in some places. The word, it means preoccupy. The word of Christ, the love of Christ will preoccupy you. It keeps you occupied, doesn't it? Stays in your mind, stays in your heart. And when I get ready to go into a situation, I don't know if you've ever had this. Have you ever been really ready to give somebody a piece of your mind? I mean, they deserved it. And you were getting ready to do it. Happened to me. Did happen to me. I was waiting for the phone call, man. I mean, I was ready. I was stewing. I'd had it up to here. And I was really getting ready to let them know how I felt. And I'll be honest with you today. They were just flat wrong what they did and what they said. And I was getting ready to set the record straight. And the phone call came. And I'd been working on the van, and I reached up, you know, the little door in the back, and I was shutting it, and I slammed it right on my head. It's right there and cut a big old gash. Blood started flowing down my face. And I told my wife, I said, we'll have to get him to call back. And I had to go to the doctor and get some stitches. And this was in Columbia. And you know what? He didn't even sew it up. I mean, he didn't even, it deadened it all. He just started sewing. And not only did he sew the wound up, he sewed the bandage on the wound. I walked around for a day or two with a bandage sewed to my head. I thought, my goodness gracious. But you know what? I calmed down. And by the time I had the conversation, it was a different conversation than I would have had. And it definitely had a better outcome. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I said, the love of Christ, sometimes he may constrain you by putting you in the hospital, having your head sewed up. But I'm glad he constrained me. Amen. Praise God. We need to learn to get constrained sometimes. The love of Christ constrains us. It holds us back. It holds us back from saying. It holds us back from doing. Amen. And the love of Christ constrains us, the scripture said. Amen. And so it changes our whole life. If the love of Christ doesn't change you, then you don't know the love of Christ. Amen. If you can be disrespectful to your brothers and sisters, you don't know the love of Christ like you ought to know the love of Christ. If you can't treat the people that serve your food right, and you can't be kind to your waiter and give them the tip they deserve, and you can't be good to people that are good to you and good to people that are not good to you, then the love of Christ is not in us like it ought to be in us. I think the Bible said something about love them that pray for them that. Was that in there for a purpose, or is that just poetic and sweet? If I know Jesus, he meant what he said. And you know what? He didn't just say it. He practiced it. He did it. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. While they're beaten, driving nails in his hands, in his feet, pierced his brow, cursed him, spit on him, hated him, did everything to him. Father, forgive them. He wasn't just talking, people. He meant what he said. See, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, standing before a crowd of men snorting like dogs, gnashing their teeth at him. They were so full of anger and hatred and bitterness. Picked up rocks and started crushing the very life out of him. Father, lay not this sin against their charge. Don't put it on their sheet, Lord. When we get to judgment, don't judge anybody for what they're doing to me right now. How in the world can a man say that in this condition he was in? The love of Christ constrains us. I don't ever want to hear Christians say, I can't help myself. You can't, but the love of Christ can. The love of Christ will help the addict push away the bottle, put away the needle, put away the pill bottle, whatever it is. It'll help you get over it, because the love of Christ will constrain you. The love of Christ will help you to control your tongue. Amen. Now let me just say, sometimes it takes a little practice. If you're used to just letting your old tongue say what it wants to say when it wants to say it, it's going to take a little practice for you to get in speaking kind words. Hello? Well, you know, we just don't say I love you. We'll learn. I said learn. Practice it a little bit. Even your tongue will do it. Try it. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? That's just the way we are. Let the love of Christ constrain you. Amen. Is that all right, folks? Is that what this is talking about? Amen. It seems to me that it is. It's what I'm getting out of it. I think the love of Christ will hold us back. It'll hold us in. Amen. It'll keep us from doing too much. On the other hand, the love of Christ will take us further than we ever intended to go. Amen. We'll pay more than we intended to pay and be glad to pay it. Amen. You'll sacrifice and not even consider it a sacrifice. You'll consider it a privilege. You'll consider it an honor. Amen. The love of Christ will constrain you to go further and do more. Constrains us. Compels us. Amen. Forces almost to do the things that you would never have thought that you could or would do. Amen. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, the things that I used to love, now I hate. And the things I used to hate, now I love, because the love of Christ constrains me. It has turned my world right side up. A young man was heir to a great fortune, a vast fortune, an old fortune. And God called him in the ministry. And he said, I'll go. After he was called in ministry, God called him to be a missionary. And he said, I'll go. He felt like that money, his fortune, would be a hindrance to him. So he signed it all away. All of his rights. Signed all of his rights away. And after he did that, he opened his Bible and he wrote, no reserves. No reserves. Amen. There's nothing. In other words, he said, I'm completely depending on God. No reserves. I gave away my resources. I'm depending on God. No reserves. That's a wonderful place to be. Amen. He boarded the ship and started his journey across the ocean, and he fell ill on the journey. He died before he ever got to the mission field. But underneath no reserve, he wrote two more words. He said, no regrets. No regrets. That's what happens when the love of Christ constrains you. There's no reserve. I said there's no reserve. I said there's no reserve. If you have reservations in your life, the love of Christ hasn't constrained you enough. If you're still putting conditions on God, if you're still making bargains with God, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. God, I'll do this, but I can't do that. No. You're putting conditions on God. You have reservations in your life. That's not good enough. Amen. You're like Isaiah when the Lord called him and showed him Israel and their condition and how they needed a change. They needed a message from God. And he said, who will go? And Isaiah said, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I can't do it, God. He had reservations. And the Lord reached and took an altar, sent an angel with a coal from off of the altar of heaven, came down and touched his lips. And after he'd had that confrontation and that visitation from God, he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Get rid of your reservations. And when you get to the end of the journey, you'll be able to say with Mr. Borden, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I mean, he didn't even get there, but he said, I have no regrets. It's unfair, God. He got sick. He died before he could do anything. I have no regrets. How many people genuinely live a life and get to the end and say, no regrets? You only get there without having reservations. Amen. You got to say, Lord, here it is. Everything of God, everything I am, it's all yours. All of me. For all of you. Paul said, for if one died for all, it only seems fair that we should live for him. If he died for me, it only seems fair that I should live for him. Does that seem fair to anybody? If he died for me, it only seems fair that I should live for him. If he gave his life for me, it only seems fair that I should give my life for him. If he went to death as my sacrifice, it seems only fair that I should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ constrains me. Let's stand together. Amen. I hope that the Spirit in this house today will draw somebody. Somebody that's had some reservations. Somebody that's been holding back. Somebody that's not giving all. Somebody that's coasting. I hope that love will constrain somebody here today. Somebody that's been trying to make bargains with God. Somebody that's just been making excuses. I hope it'll constrain somebody today. Well, the love of Christ constrains me. I can't help myself. It draws me. It compels me. It propels me. Amen. Amen. Anybody listening today? Can anybody hear him? Anybody hear his voice? Is he drawing somebody in this house today? Is he speaking to somebody's heart in this house today? God, I don't want to drift through life. I don't want to live a purposeless, meaningless, fruitless life. Life's short enough, it needs to count for something. There needs to be some meaning in my days. There needs to be some purpose for my having passed this way. Compel me, Lord. Constrain me, Jesus. And you do it with love. You don't force us to. You don't make us do something. Amen. It doesn't come that way. It's just, we learn to love you so much we want to. We learn to love our brothers and sisters so much we want to. We learn to love the lost so much we just want to. Because love constrains us. Amen. Anybody feel the love of the Lord here today? Let it draw you. There's an altar here for you to come to. Amen. If you're not where you want to be, it's all right. Love will constrain you. It'll get you there. Amen. If you need to make some adjustments, this is the place. This is the time. If you need to cancel some reservations, shake off some shackles that are holding you back, this is the place. This is the time. Amen. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus constrained me today. Love constrained me. Love of Jesus constrained me. Don't let me be the old ugly person I used to be. Don't let me walk through life, God, with a bad attitude. Don't let me walk through life, Lord, unkind and uncaring and unconcerned. Don't let me get caught up in selfishness. But constrain me, Jesus. Oh, love of Christ, constrain me today. Love of Christ, constrain me today. And Lord, when it comes to going and doing, when it comes to the sending, here am I. No reservations.